love God. I love God, and I'm going to talk about God all the time in every way, because I've talked about everything else in my entire life, and I've wasted a bunch of it. And I'm not going to waste anymore. I'm just not. I'm not going to waste another minute. I'm not going to waste another relationship. I'm not going to waste another friendship. I'm not going to waste another person I meet. I'm not going to waste another time that God has given me to say something that will forever open a door to the best friend I've ever had in my whole entire life. And I hope you feel that. Man, I hope you feel that, especially in this season, the strong urge to tell everybody, you know how good He is, how good He is, how faithful He is, how strong He is. Because I'm going to tell you, so much of the world just does not know Him. They just don't know Him. But I'm going to tell you, if you know Him, you can't help but tell how good He is, how good He is. I want us to do something tonight. I don't ever make your life easy. That's that's the gift of me getting the mic. But I believe that God is calling a season of a birthing of intercession breakthrough. Man, when God had been drilling that in me and drilling that, and I got here Monday night, and that's what began to come out of that. I'm telling you, if you are not praying in the Spirit every other Monday or night, I'm going to say just like, Mom, shame on you. Shame on you, because it is such a place. Man, I've been in some battles where I've said, if I could just get there, I know I can find strength in my time of need. I know I can find people that think like me. I'm going to tell you, the world don't think like you. They shouldn't think like you. And I love that our church, man, there has been people that have established this. Just like God said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. It's going to be a house of prayer. And prayer has not fallen. It has been a strength in this church. And if you are in any, you should be here in times of prayer. Because I'm going to tell you, that's where your strength lies. That's where your hope is. That's the kind of friends that you'll want in life. I'm going to tell you, God has told me many times, don't go into battle with weak people. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find weak people at prayer meetings. You're not going to find weak people in places where they'll get on their knees for hours at a time and seek God and believe God and trust God for you and your family in this church. And it is such a season to do that, because I'm going to tell you the truth. The enemy is attacking the church. The enemy's attacking the church. The enemy's attacking your leaders. The enemy's attacking. He's on the prowl. He knows his time is short. He knows he's got to get some major blows. And I really believe the devil does not believe the end of the story. I'm honest with you. I don't think the devil believes it's really going to go down how God said it was. He never once believed God in the beginning. And I don't think he believes God's going to be able to pull it off. Are you needing me? Okay. That looks like those eyes from a mama. But one thing I know is, I know without a doubt that God is establishing a heart of prayer and intercession and breakthrough that I believe is going to break through to this next generation and to this next season, to where we're going to really see God do some things that we have only dreamed He would do in the church. That we only dreamed He would do in our life. That we only dreamed that we would get to see in our day and age God really do something big. I believe it's going to come out of a deep place in our heart of intercession and breakthrough, where we will say, no more, devil, will you keep me from moving into what God is telling me to move into in the Spirit. So I'm telling you, I believe it's a time of intercession and breakthrough like we haven't seen before. And then we get here Monday night and it's always confirmed. I'm going to tell you, godly people hear the same thing. Godly people, God is saying the same thing to His children. If you'll get around godly people and if you'll start hearing God, you'll be so confirmed in your heart. You won't say, is that God? Is that God? God will set people up in your life that hear Him, and they'll confirm His words to you so you can run with it. I love that about, in David's life, he would keep people around him that could hear God. I mean, that would be able to hear God, because I believe David, the Bible says David was filled with the Spirit. So David, I believe, heard God, but I believe God kept people around David that could confirm that what he was hearing was God, was what he was hearing was God. And you need to make sure you're keeping around you spiritually strong people. It is not a time to walk with the weak. It is not a time to falter with the weak. It is a time to run with the horsemen, to get up on your feet and to say, I'm going, I'm moving, because God has positioned me with an army to move into some things in my life. And don't let it go. Don't let one more promise that God has promised you fall to the side. Don't let it. If it does, it was not God's fault. God does not stop being faithful. So I believe that it is a season of intercession and an intercession to breakthrough. It's not like an intercession I believe we've seen before. I believe, though, that these seasons have come before. But I believe we're on a break of something, like we've been on breaks before with the church, where God began to birth something in the hearts of the people in His church. And out of that intercession came great breakthrough in this world, in this nation, in our cities, in our towns. And I believe it starts in where we're feeling God call us to more of Him. More time with Him, more believing Him, more studying, more trusting. And it is a good place to be if you've decided I'm going to be a person who positions myself into intercession and I'm not stopping until it's done. I believe that the church, this is a need in the church. I believe it's a need in the church that God's wanting to bring us to a new level in the spirit, and to do that, we're going to have a lot, not just a few. I believe we're going to have a lot of spiritual people that are determined for spiritual breakthrough, that are determined to let God usher in through them all, not just some, but all that He's wanting to do. Hannah, to me, this is one of my favorite stories, because this is one way I believe God begins to stir in the hearts of men. Because really, we are first concerned about us. We just are. That's our nature. We're first concerned about us. And every person in here, I believe, has an area of their life that they have not seen breakthrough in. I can't imagine one person that has walked through their life that they have seen the breakthrough or all that God had promised them fulfilled to them. And there are some people, that the enemy has set their life up in such a way that there is no natural way that the breakthrough that God is wanting to bring them into will ever happen. And I believe those people are called to be people of greater intercession and breakthrough. But I believe all of us have areas. So if you just say, well, you know what? I don't really have it. That's an excuse to me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. All of us have needs that only God can fill. All of us do. But we find Hannah in 1 Samuel. And we find Hannah, and in her life, Hannah was barren. And I'm just going to skip through this. So if you'll just go to 1 Samuel, I'll just kind of jump all around. It says that there was a man, he had two wives. One of them was Hannah, and one of them was Peninnah. I'm going to say it fast because I don't exactly know how to pronounce it. And one of them had children, and the other one had no children. All right? So what this tells me is, in one of the woman's life, it was not a place that I believe that she was anointed or that she was called in that area of her life to become such a person of intercession and breakthrough in that area. I believe that God had other callings for her. But I'm going to tell you, but there was a woman who the enemy, or just situations, natural circumstances, were set up in her life that without a miracle, there was no natural way for her to be able to have a promise from God. God told all women to be fruitful and multiply. If you've ever been barren, I'm going to tell you, take that promise to the bank. You take that promise before God. God gave that. He said, all women be fruitful and multiply. And in Hannah's life, right there, because of her body, because of natural circumstances, she was kept out of a promise that I know, because of the way that Hannah walked that out, that God was beginning to stir up something in Hannah's life and was saying, believe me for more. Believe me for more. Believe me for your answer. Because if your life has no natural answer for what God has promised you, you are actually a person that is anointed to be a person of spiritual breakthrough. God gives you no excuse. When you hit an obstacle in your life that there is no natural way around it, what that should begin to tell you is, I am anointed to move into a level of spiritual breakthrough in this area. And that is the beginning, I believe, of where it begins in our life. So I'm going to be honest with you. My parents had a lot of ungodly children, though they love to remember one for small seasons of their life. But can I tell you the truth? There was no natural way they could have drilled God into me. There was no natural way. It was impossible. The only person that can draw a person to God is God. There is no natural way for you to get your children saved. That's just not. If you have children that are not saved, I'm going to tell you the truth. God is calling you. He is anointing you to be a person of spiritual, of intercession, breakthrough, simply because of what walls have been set before you. If you have a husband or if you have a wife that is not serving God beside your side, that is not strong in the Lord with you, and that does not serve God with you, I'm going to tell you the truth, that is a natural thing that will never change without a supernatural action coming into their life. So if that is where you have found yourself, God is calling you to an intercession of breakthrough. He has anointed you for that in your life. If you have any area of your life where naturally it cannot change, you are called tonight to an anointed place of intercession breakthrough that I believe this church needs you to move into. We need you to move into the place God has called you to be, because you are the arms and the feet and the hands of the body of Christ. And a limp limb is no use to the body. A weak leg causes the body to be slower than God wants it to be. God is not going to, when you get to heaven, look at your natural circumstances and say, oh, I see why. God put the Holy Spirit in you. And He has given you everything you need to be able to move in to the place where, I love what Bill said, where prophecy can be fulfilled in your life. Where God can begin to move in your life. Where God's words can begin to be invested and developed in your life. But it is never going to unfold until you decide, all right, God, where natural things have begun to stop me, I'm going to let intercession cause supernatural breakthrough in my life. Intercession that will call not just your heart, but intercession that will call out to God's heart. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what this church needs. This church needs some men and some women that will come in before the presence of God and say, God, I have a lot of needs. I have a lot of needs. And I'm looking to you to be the source that begins to fill my mouth with prayer and praise and intercession. Because see, Hannah had a need, but it didn't stop her. She moved into the presence of God. And I love this. Let me tell you, to be a person of intercession, you've got to be, to move into that place, you've got to be a person that has the ability to keep your mouth shut when it's time to keep your mouth shut, and to open your mouth when it's time to open your mouth. The Bible don't say Hannah was a grumbler or a complainer, and she probably had a lot of reasons to be that way. When the Bible talks about how Hannah would begin to invest this situation, he would always weep and bitterly and pray to God. Men and women of intercession understand those words right there. Because when you move into a place of praying and getting closer and lifting up your heart and you're letting God speak to you, it becomes something in your spirit that is, it is not sorrow, but it is not fully joy until God begins to birth it. It's a place in your spirit where God begins to breathe and birth and come into your heart, and He begins to cry out through you. Cry out through you. So we see that Hannah came to the temple, and she went into the tabernacle, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. When you're in the presence of God and things drop into your heart, don't keep your mouth shut. Your mouth is a weapon. I'm going to tell you, in intercession, your eyes are a weapon, your mouth is a weapon, your feet is a weapon, your hands is a weapon, your jump is a weapon, your clap is a weapon. When you move into the presence of God, if He drops into your spirit, don't keep your mouth shut. It is a weapon against the enemy. And it is important that you understand this is much deeper than I can even begin maybe to understand in the natural now. And so as she began to move into the Spirit, it says she made a vow and said, "Remember me and not forget." Oh, it says, "Lord of hosts." Let me tell you, this is one of my favorite names for God in the past. Because what this is the Lord of Heaven's armies. This, her husband, Hannah's husband, was the first man that mentioned this name in the Bible. Always look over there because that's what I study, but I always make sure that's what they study too. That it was the first time that was mentioned in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, what this tells me is Hannah had a strong husband. This means that Hannah's husband was a man who was spiritually discerning, that he could see that God was a God of an army. That God was a God of heavenly hosts. That there was a lot more that was unseen than what he could see with his natural eye. And when Hannah came into the presence of God and began to pour out her need, the first thing she began to recognize is, God, there is more that are for us than that are against us. That is an eyesight of an intercessor. You don't think that time is wasted. You understand when you are getting in the presence of God that there is a supernatural phenomenon that's going on, and there is a great angelic army that if you will just beseech Him, He will fight for you. He will fight for you. If you will just get on your knees and say, God, help me today because I can't make it. Help my church. Help my friends. Help my family. Help the lost. There is an army that backs those prayers. There's an army that stands with God's people when they move in to intercession and pray. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on me and remember me, and not forget me. Because I believe at that moment, Hannah's prayer was turning into deep intercession. Because as she moved into the presence of God and she began to cry out to the Lord of hosts, I believe God began to drop things into her spirit that made it be a lot more than just about the son she didn't have. I believe God began to birth into her heart the cry and the need of all of Israel. I believe that it became a cry of the earth. I believe that she began to understand that there was so much that was going on around her that grieved God, that there was so much that was going on around her that spiritually she might not have understood, but she knew in the spirit and in that moment that God's needs were greater than her needs. That God's needs were greater than her needs, but God's answer would fulfill her answer. But God's answer would fulfill her answer. But we will give your maidservant, but will you give your maidservant a male child? Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of my life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, I've been in the presence of God, and I have prayed out some things in intercession. And I'm telling you, when I stood up and I walked off from that, I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I just say? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. When you move into intercession, God begins to pray through you. When you move into a place where you know that God is stirring in your heart and you know that you have laid your needs to the wayside and you let your mouth be God's mouth, God begins to pray through you. What she just said in that one statement was, God, not my will, but your will be done. Not my son, but your son come. Let your answer come and let it come through me. Because Israel needed a holy man. Israel needed someone that would not shave his head, that would not go and be deceptive, that would know the difference between right and wrong, that would live a godly nature and a godly character, even if it cost him a whole lot. Israel needed a holy man. And as she began to pray for a son, God began to pray for a holy man to come through her body. And she offered him up to God. And she offered him up to God. And she offered him up to God. I'm going to tell you, if you want breakthrough in your life, if there's no natural way that you can see the answer, I'm going to tell you, God is calling you to spiritual breakthrough. An anointing of spiritual breakthrough. And what that might mean is, your needs might have to be laid to the side in prayer. When you get into a place of prayer and you're taking on and you're letting God begin to breathe through you, what that might mean is, in that moment, I'm going to tell you what came out of Hannah's mouth. It sounded like it was going to cost Hannah a lot. It did. But if you're not willing to sacrifice you and all that you want, I'm going to tell you the truth, you're not really, really willing to follow Jesus. That there, that young ruler, that he came and he said, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And Jesus said, but have you done it all? And he couldn't do it all. He couldn't do it all. And God knows exactly what our all is. And that usually is the place in our life where he is crying out to bring spiritual breakthrough. Where he is wanting you to get close enough to him to where his needs become your needs. And out of that surrender of your will, he can birth anything you want. Anything you need. But it has got to come out of a surrendered heart that says, God, I am surrendering anything and every part of my life to move into a place to be a person of intercession and breakthrough for your kingdom, for your family, for your church, for your needs. You know, the Bible says, man, God looks for one that will stand in the gap. How many? One. If God can't find one, that's a sad state for Israel to be in. God needed one. But I'm going to tell you today, God needs men that will stand in the gap and that will build a wall over their church, over their families, over their jobs, over the people that God's placed them around. God needs men and women of intercessional breakthrough that will not stop till breakthrough comes. And I'm going to tell you the truth. As God begins to break through, as God begins to come in, and as God broke through Israel, and as he brought Samuel forth, as he brought the answer, as he brought the answer forth, Hannah had more children. When you move into spiritual breakthrough, those natural things just fall away. I'm going to tell you, God is not a God that is smaller than this natural world. God is the only God that can get you to the spiritual place he's trying to get you. And it takes you moving in beyond the natural to grab it spiritually. To grab it spiritually. To grab it spiritually. I know this is a really spiritual sermon, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's meat. And God wants us to be men and women of meat. And if we gotta have milk all the time, we're babies. We need to know that God is wanting to strengthen us up so that we can stop keeping our church from spiritual breakthrough. God wants us to be a people who says, I will not allow my life to stand here and let what the enemy has put before me keep me from walking through. Because if I do, I'm in some way not being the part of the body that God has called me to be. God put you here to be a part. You have a responsibility. You have a purpose. There is a reason God wants you to break through. That's because there will be many bursts that comes after you. There's going to be many bursts that comes after you. There's going to be many spiritual things that are birthed into this church as you say, no more letting this stop me. I'm moving into where God is telling me to move into. David had this incredible word that he called God. And I'm going to tell you, as you move there, as you decide, if you decide to not let the enemy have any more, you're actually challenging him for a spiritual breakthrough. If you decide in your heart, I'm not going to let the devil have one more battle that he's won. I'm not going to let him have one more person in my family that's going to not know God. I'm not going to let him have one more place in my life. You're actually challenging him to a spiritual breakthrough. What you're telling him is, my God will break through on you. And I promise you, if you set yourself up in this season for intercession and prayer, and you begin to become a person of spiritual intercession and breakthrough, if you do what it takes, God will break through on him. God will break through on him, the Bible says, like a mighty rushing water into your life. And I'm going to tell you, God's water is good. It causes your life to grow. It causes life to bring up where there has been barren places for so long. If you will push yourself to break through, God will bring water that brings life into your life. God will bring water that brings life into your life. In 2 Chronicles... I have it here. I just have to find it with my scratch. 2 Chronicles 14. Everybody will turn there. Because I want you to see. I want you to see how powerful your God of breakthrough is. I'm going to tell you, in church, we need it. We don't need blocked rivers and blocked valleys and blocked spaces and blocked ministries and blocked homes and blocked marriages. We don't need it anymore. We don't need the spirits feeling like they can come and build up dams in our lives and keep out all that God wants to bring into this church. We don't need it. All right, so in 1 Corinthians 14... Please tell me this is the right one. No, 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1st or 2nd? Yeah, I'm sorry, 1st. I said 2nd. I'm so sorry. 1 Corinthians 14. Yeah. No. Oh, Chronicles. Yes. I'm so sorry. I'm not a detailed person. You can totally tell. If you had to look at this, I'm telling you, and read from this, and this is me. All right, so 1st, yes, Chronicles 14, 8. It says, now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, and the Philistines went up to search out for David, and David heard of it, and he went out against them. I love that. I love that. Because see, here's what God did. God came and gave David a promise. And God fulfilled that promise. And when he fulfilled that promise, the enemy got mad. And I'm going to tell you, when God fulfills a promise for you, the enemy gets mad. He gets mad. Man, my husband, God fulfilled an incredible promise for him. And we've been walking through stupid enemies just getting mad. But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter how mad he's got. He can't take the promises of God from his children. He can't take the promises of God from God's children. And then the Philistines went and made a raid on this valley. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, go up, for I will deliver them in your hands. I'm going to tell you, God is telling you to go after the enemy and do not let him have your children. Do not let him have your job. Do not let him have your family. Do not let him have your spouse. Do not let him have what God has said is yours. Do go up and declare out of your mouth, this is holy ground. So they went up and they defeated, and David defeated them there. And then David said this, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. I'm going to tell you, Old Testament was a hand. New Testament is the Spirit. Old Testament was a shout. New Testament is a Spirit. What we are moving into in war in this season is not going to come from your sword. It's going to come from the sword of the Lord and from your knees being before God and for you declaring out of your mouth, I will war until there is breakthrough in my life. I will war until there is breakthrough in my family. I will war until there is breakthrough in my church. We cannot be a people who says anymore, well, it would have been. I'm going to tell you, it's not God's will, because God's will is for us to go to fight and for God to be a God of breakthrough, like water that flows out of us, and it will touch so many others. It will touch so many others. Can I tell you the truth? This church needs this. There was a time, which is, to me, a lot like this season, where the disciples were under great persecution, under unbelievable persecution, under such a persecution because God was on the move. God was on the move on this earth, and the church and church leaders and disciples that were being and doing what God told them to do were under great persecution. And what happened from that was the enemy got some. In Acts 12, I just want you to understand the reason this church needs spiritual, strong men and women of breakthrough. We don't need people who will not stand, who will not show up at this church, and who will not intercede and pray, not just for your needs, but for the needs of God to be unfolded in His body. You're His body. That will incorporate you. But God needs people that will say, it is a spiritual season, and I'm going to move into spiritual things. I'm going to go deeper. It says, about this time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. I'm going to tell you the truth, the devil is harassing the church. Every time we see a death, every time we see a destruction, every time we see a fall, every time we see something that is very evil, I'm going to tell you, the devil is harassing God's people. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased godly people, the Jews, the religious people, because killing a godly man pleased them. That shows you your heart. I'm going to tell you, if you see godly people being persecuted, and if that makes you happy, that's not God. That's not God. If you see godly people being under attack, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people, and if I see somebody being under attack, I make my heart think right. I say, you will not rejoice over somebody else's fault. You know, the Bible tells you that. The Bible says He might take that and put that on you. I don't want that. You keep your heart right. You guard your heart. You don't worry about everybody else's heart. You guard your heart. You have a clean heart and a right spirit. And you think right. You have discernment over your own self. And because he saw it pleased him, he further seized Peter. Why did he seize Peter? Because he's going to kill Peter. Why did he grab Peter? What did he just do to James? What did he just do to him? He just killed him. So when he saw that pleased him, he grabbed Peter. And I'm going to tell you, his plans were to kill Peter. And he put Peter in jail. And he arrested him. And he put a squad of soldiers around him. He wanted to make sure that this demonic little situation that the enemy was stirring up right here, that there was no way that godly people could come in and take him out or could come in any natural way change that situation. And Peter was therefore kept in prison. But there were some intercessors there. There were some people of spiritual breakthrough. There were some people that were in that church on a Monday night hearing God and praying out the heart of God. And they might not have known where Peter was, but they knew God said, hit your knees and pray for my son because he needs a miracle. He needs deliverance. He needs help. And because there were people in fervent constant prayer was being offered to God to him by the church, an angel of the Lord then stood by Peter. Can I tell you the truth? God has a lot of angels.
There's a Lord of hosts who has charge of so many angelic beings that no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, if somebody will get on their knees and will begin to intercede for this body, somebody will be able to touch God and God will send aid. God will send help. God has a plan. God has a way. God just needs some people that are going to say, I'm going to stand in that gap. I'm going to stand in that gap. I'm going to be a person who will build a spiritual wall over my children, over my church, and who will not allow one more person to fall to the natural plans of the enemy.
And it says that the angels told him to tie his sandals, and he did it. And he went out and he followed him, and he didn't even know what was being done by the angel was real. Can I tell you, godly leaders, man, they battle long and they battle hard and they need people that will lift them up. There are men and women in this church that day and night pray for you. You need to be a body. I can say this because I'm not. You need to be a group of people that get on your knees and pray for the leaders of your church. Because I can promise you, I hear, I see, I grew up, they pray for you. They pray for you. And the Bible says that there needs to be people standing in the gap. Why? Because the enemy is out to harass the church. And if we continue to do what we've been doing, it will not be enough. But if we begin to grow in our intercession, if we begin to grow in our breakthrough, if we begin to say out of our mouths, not one more devil, we will see one more child taken out of this body because they are not yours. We will not see one more person not go to heaven in this body. Because they are yours. Church, I know this is a hard, loud, as always, message. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe without a doubt that God is calling us to a deeper level of discernment, but a stronger level of spiritual intercession. Not just for no reason, but for breakthrough. Because you see what happened when Peter got out? When Peter got out, the church was glorified. It says the word of God grew mighty and grew mighty and grew mighty. And it went further and it became a testimony. But do you know what happened to Herod? Do you know? He died. I'm going to tell you, intercession tears the devil's plans to the ground. Intercession tears the devil's plans to the roots and it rips it up and it throws it into the fire. He has no plans when the church of God is interceding and praying. He has no way when the church of God is standing and believing and opening up their weapons and using their weapons for the glory of God. He has no plans. So I'm going to tell you, this church is known and continue to be known as a house of prayer. It's going to be in every home, I believe, in every life that is a part of this church. It's going to be a home of prayer. There's going to be marriages made of prayer. We're going to see ministries devoted completely to prayer. God's going to raise up an intercession that there's going to be a breakthrough to that next level that the enemy has no way to blockade because there are people standing in the gap and building up walls and telling the devil, my God's got more than you. My God's got more than you. My God's got more than you. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes this morning. And I want you to think about your need of breakthrough. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. It matters to God. It matters to God where you need breakthrough. God is not hard. He is not unkind. He is not somebody that just says, you know, you don't matter. I'm going to tell you, you matter greatly to God. He showed that by sending His greatest treasure to this earth to die for you. I want you to think about your greatest need of breakthrough. I want you to think about the thing that the enemy has tried to tell you no. 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 No natural way. Think about the words that have been spoken to you prophetically.
And there is no natural way that could ever come to pass for you. The things that God has seen and spoken and sent word to you to say, this is where you're going. But in the natural, there's no possible way for you to get into that kingdom and to be made king. Can I tell you the truth? I want you to say, God, make me a vessel of spiritual intimacy. Make me a vessel of intercession and breakthrough that will never stop till there's a mighty rushing river rushing through me and through this wall that the enemy has set up, and it breaks through for me. And Father, I pray that you'll lay on my heart the needs of the church, the needs of your leaders, the needs of your body in such a prophetic way that's not a grumbler, that's not a complainer, that's a prophesier that says, I see what you see. There are more that are for us than are against us. And I can be used to prophetically tear apart the enemy's plans. Through a wish of my hand, through a stomp of my feet, through a praise to my God, to whatever the Spirit leads me. I'm going to be a Spirit-led intercessor. And I'm going to use all my weapons. Every single part of me to praise you and to stomp out the enemy's plans in my land. In Jesus' name.